So we are starting a new sermon series called Singing Salvation. And we are looking at hymns and songs that have informed our faith over the years, sometimes even the centuries. We'll also look at some contemporary songs that help inform our faith. So prior to books being published and widely available, and the general public being able to read, hymns were a way of teaching theology. It was a way of helping people to be able to talk about how God is at work in their life. It was often set to tunes that people knew, including drinking songs, believe it or not. The music of our faith goes a long, long way in informing our faith and giving us a vocabulary in which we can talk about our faith. And it reminds us of the truth of God, the truths of our faith. And the first song that we are looking at, if you've not yet figured it out, is the classic hymn, which we sang part of, and we sang a modern version that was added on to that, is Amazing Grace. And I love this song. It's one of my favorites. And it reminds me so much of the grace of God that is ours. But I have to tell you, when I was a younger person, I struggled with the part that says that saved a wretch like me. I mean, I never really thought about myself as a wretch, right? I mean, by definition, a wretch is a miserable person, somebody who's just terrible. And I thought, I'm a pretty good guy. I'm a decent fella. I mean, I don't rob banks. I don't do terrible things. But as I've gotten older, I've really come to understand wretch as being a terrible sinner. Wretch reminds me of what a sinner that I am. You know, the guy that wrote the hymn, Amazing Grace, was a slave trader. He was a captain of a ship that hauled slaves back and forth. And at some point, he realized the error of his ways and received the amazing grace of Christ. And that's what this hymn is about. So he clearly felt that he was a wretch when he wrote that. But when I hear this song, I am reminded of the miserable sinner that I am and the grace that has bestowed upon me the gift of life, the gift of forgiveness. We've sung about God's amazing grace this day, so let's read about it. We're reading from the book of Romans. It's chapter 3, verses 20 through 26. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Verse 20 starts out by stating what we know. that there is no way a human being can be justified by his or her own actions or his or her own deeds. Nobody can be good enough to earn their way into heaven. Can't do it. It's impossible. The Pope can't earn his way into heaven. Sister Teresa did not earn her way into heaven. It was through faith in Christ that she was saved. And it's through faith in Christ that we all are saved. It is through faith that we are justified and made right with God. I love verse 22. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know what that means, folks? We're all in the same boat. We're all the same. We are all sinners who cannot earn our own salvation. None of us can be smart enough to figure out the magic password or the magic way to get to heaven. It is the truth that we are all sinners, we have all fallen short of what God has asked of us, and it is only through God's amazing grace that we are saved, that we are made right with God, redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus through our faith in Him. It doesn't matter who you were in this world, a president, an outhouse cleaner, it doesn't matter. We were all made right through our faith in Jesus Christ. We all experienced the same saving grace. And that is the truth. But there is another truth as well. That as a Wesleyan preacher, when I hear about amazing grace, I have this reflex within me that says, what kind of grace are we talking about? Because we as Methodists, we believe that there are different kinds of grace. And I have to tell you that as Methodists, we believe that we've got the corner on talking about God's grace. We think we have the best language for talking about it. Now, let me be clear. We are making no claims that our way is the only way. God's grace is available to everyone. God will save whom God will save. John Wesley nor Mike Tyson has no say in that. But as Methodists, we think we have a really good way of understanding and talking about how God's grace comes to us. We think we've got a good way to talk about it. And as a Methodist preacher, it's part of my job to make sure you Methodists out there understand it. So as Methodists, we believe in what sometimes is called the Wesleyan way of salvation. Now, again, God will save whom God will save. God's grace is God's grace. It's through Jesus Christ that we are saved. We understand that there is this process that we sort of all go through, that there are several kinds of grace. And the very first kind of grace that we understand, and this is a little bit uniquely Methodist, is something called prevenient grace. And it is a grace that you experience, that you know, that happens to you, whether you know it's happening or not. It is akin to God's love for His children. This is a grace that precedes everything. It is God's love for you, that has no beginning and no end. It is God's love constantly wooing you and calling you into relationship with Him. And it works whether you believe it or not. It works whether you experience it or realize that you're experiencing it or not. Prevenient grace is like the Good Shepherd out in the cold, dark night, searching and calling for His lost sheep. It is prevenient grace that leads you to God. God is calling to you, and through prevenient grace, you find your way to God in some way. Maybe you've been invited to church with somebody. Maybe you decide to open the Bible. But prevenient grace brings you to God. And then we believe that you experience something that is called convincing grace, or sometimes it's called convicting grace. John Wesley uses both in his sermons. And with that grace comes the understanding that you are in fact a sinner. No matter how nice a guy you think you are a sinner. And you cannot be redeemed by any action of your own. That it is only through faith in Christ. And you experience this convicting or convincing grace. And that leads you to the next type of grace. And the best type of grace. And it's called justifying grace. And this grace happens in the twinkling of an eye. It's almost an instantaneous thing. It's this moment in which you recognize and have faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and Son of Man, and that He is your salvation. And once you experience that justifying grace, you're healed. Your relationship with God, it's restored. And you are forgiven for your sins. Scripture says that God has put them as far away as the east is from the west. He will remember your sins no more. And through this justifying grace, you receive the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, which we experience both in this lifetime and in the next one to come. We get to experience the joy and the peace that comes from being forgiven in this world. We get to experience the love of Christ that is in our life and in the lives of others that are around us. The next type of grace, it's a grace that we get to experience all the days of our life. Once we have reached that justifying grace level, which is not a level that you get to, but once you experience that justifying grace, the next step is sanctifying grace. And this is a little bit uniquely Methodist. You'll hear other denominations talk about sanctifying grace, but for us, this is your journey with Christ. This is the Holy Spirit at work in you, on you, and through you all the days of your life. This is your effort to become more Christ-like in all that you do and all the ways that you are. We walk in this sanctifying grace all the days of our life. I want to go back for just a second to justifying grace. You know, some of us have a moment, right? I mean, you can talk to some people and they can tell you on April 12th, 1998, I gave my life to Jesus Christ at 4:48 p.m. Some people have that moment where they experience that justifying grace. And some of us, we don't have that moment. Because Jesus has been a part of our life since we were a wee little lad or lassie, right? And Jesus has just lived in our heart. Let me tell you, you are just as saved as the person who can tell you the time and the moment that it happened. You have received and experienced that justifying grace even if you didn't know that it happened. Through your faith in Christ, you are saved. And whether you experience justifying grace in an instant or over a lifetime, the next step for you is sanctifying grace. This is the Holy Spirit working in you, on you, and through you, trying to make you to become more Christ-like. John Wesley talks about, and don't get confused here, talks about moving on to perfection. This is not our Western idea of perfect, like without error, without mistake. Really, what he's talking about is becoming more mature in our faith. And he advocates that there is this moment in which you can reach perfection in your faith life. This moment where your every thought, where your every deed, where your everything is aligned with your faith in Christ. But here's the bad news. It's not a place that you arrive. It's an instant. Sometimes it's the twinkling of an eye in which you reach that level of perfection. And sanctifying grace is always about trying to bring us back more towards that. Sanctifying grace is the Holy Spirit working in our life. So you can talk about this and you can share it with your friends or talk about it over dinner. I want to give you the metaphor that John Wesley uses. Some of you may have heard this, but he talks about God's house. And he talks about the porch is the place of repentance. And he says that prevenient grace calls you to the porch of God's house. And so there you might experience that convicting grace, that moment in which you recognize that Jesus is the only way. And justifying grace is you walking from the porch into the house. It happens that fast. As you enter the house, you experience the justifying grace of Jesus Christ. Your relationship with God is restored, and all is right with your world as it relates to your relationship with God. And then as you move about this house, you are experiencing the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit in your life. You go from the porch of repentance through the door of justification into the house of sanctification. That's the metaphor that Wesley used as he shared this with his people. God's grace, it is indeed amazing. It's never very far away, and you are never too far gone. You can never be bad enough to separate yourself from God's grace. If you don't know this grace, if you've not experienced this justifying grace, he is calling to you, inviting you to step through that door of justifying grace. For those of us that know that amazing grace that comes to us through justifying grace, sanctifying grace is there. It is working on you, asking you to become more like Christ in your faith, asking you to deepen your faith, asking you to move towards this idea of perfection, being perfect in your love with God. And when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful for your amazing grace. In whatever form it is called, whatever name it is used to describe it, it is amazing. And we are so thankful that you love us so much that you would bring us that grace and that love. For those of us that are searching, bring us to that porch of repentance, that we might experience your justifying grace. For those of us that know that grace already, Father, allow your Holy Spirit to work on us, grow us, sanctify us, that we may become more holy, more like you. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.